puff at me.
Can't finish a sentence around here.
Oh, whatever.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I never have that problem.
But the movie,
I don't know, I never get interrupted at all.
Give me more loving than I've ever had. Make it all better when I'm feeling sad. Tell me that I'm special even when I know I'm not. Make it feel good when I hurt so bad. Barely getting mad, I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you. You make it easy. It's easy as 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's only one thing to do. Three words for you. I love you. There's only one way to say those three words, and that's what I'll do. I love you. Give me more love from the very start. Piece me back together when I fall apart. Tell me things you never even tell your
close. All right, welcome back to the Two Blind Squirrels. 2 days in a row. Are y'all impressed?
It's Tuesday.
It's
and we're here.
Tuesday.
All right.
All right. Y'all should be impressed because this isn't easy, man.
Yeah.
This ain't as easy as it looks.
I know.
Faith makes it look easy, but yeah. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
That's what I do.
Make what?
It look easy.
That's what you do. You do make it. You make it. You make it sound easy.
I do.
Yes.
That's because all I do is sit here and talk to you.
But it's not easy. This takes practice.
Oh,
lots of preparation.
Yes. Lots of preparation.
I wish we did that.
It might be better.
Yeah.
If we actually prepared.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I think that's what they like, the whole fly by the seat of your pants.
Listen, I had lunch with Dan Shepherd. Last week.
Who's
2 weeks
that?
Ago. 3 weeks ago. He was in town. Dan Shepherd is Shepherd Dad. Shepherd Dan? Shepherd
I'm not
Dan.
On the forum. I don't know who that is.
Well, he's not on the forum. He's actually on Twitter. I don't know if I met him on Twitter. He followed me. I don't know. He listens to the show.
Oh,
he found
okay.
me on Twitter or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is on the forum too, actually. But,
okay.
But
anyway,
I think
yeah.
he lives on the. You know, Twitter and Facebook is taking over the community. I mean, the community is like really slowed down as far as the posts in the forum.
Oh, really?
We're still there.
Yeah.
But
because everybody's doing Twitter.
Everybody's communicating on Twitter and Facebook and not so much in the forums. And that's okay. I mean, that's the nature of the internet. You can't. And here's the thing. I refuse to try to prop up the forum and make it survive if it's not how people wish to communicate, because it's a losing battle.
Right.
I mean, you're on the internet. Things change in 10 minutes.
Right.
So it's not going to go away. I'm not going to remove it or anything. And we're still there. And there's still, prayer counselors and prayer ministers there, and that's the biggest, most active thread anyway, or most active form anyway, is that. And plus, we've got three minute Bible study on there, and that's actually picking up. And because we're actually using Facebook and Twitter to encourage people to use it.
Oh, cool!
And so it's picking up. I found out this week that a lot of people are actually doing it and not actually posting. They're doing the 3 minute Bible study, but not actually posting.
Well, that
their
was
answers.
Encouraging, I suppose.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so we have, probably double the members I thought we had. So that was pretty good, pretty encouraging. Now, moving right along, I had lunch with Dan Shepherd.
Yes.
He was in town for a conference
mm-hmm.
about Christian adoption. Now, he works for an organization called visiontrust.org. And what they do is they help orphanages in other countries. Now, they're not trying to get – his organization, Vision Trust, is not trying to get – I've got a folder right here. Hold on.
They're not trying to get you to adopt the children. They're trying to get you to
right.
give money to help
they want,
the children stay where they are.
Right. They their goal is to help children in the countries that they exist in
mm-hmm.
to get educated, to get health care, become members of Christian members of their societies where they are, so they become missionaries or at least Christians in their where they are and what country they're in. Now they're not opposed to us adopting, but that's just not what they're about.
Right.
They do, or at least Dan does. Dan agrees with me is that as Christians we should be adopting. We should be adopting kids in our own country. One of the reasons that abortion rates are so high is because
nobody
the church
wants the children,
has
yeah.
abandoned the orphans. I mean, that's mm-hmm. one of the things we were called to do,
yeah.
help the widows and the orphans.
We have, you know, is there one orphanage left? And is Buckner still considered an orphanage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
only one
church.
In Dallas. It's a Baptist.
But for the most part, the state's taken over that
mm-hmm.
process. And, if you go through the state, we've learned that it's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And very expensive. If you go through a private adoption organization and you want to adopt a baby, you're going to be out a lot of money.
Yeah.
If
you're patient and you, yeah.
If you will adopt a kid that needs adopting, and maybe he's 5 years old, maybe he's nine, then you can pretty much do it for free. I mean, there's some cost you may be out up front. Getting your house ready to be a foster parent and then and getting qualified for that. But you're reimbursed for all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you won't, it's not like you'll make money on the deal, but it literally by the time it's all said and done. And can you put a price on that anymore?
No, you can't.
But I'm just saying it's not out of anybody's reach to do financially.
Right.
And they help with, if you're two adults and you both work, they will help. I've only been through it in Texas, okay? But they'll help you with childcare. They will, as long as you can provide a home for these people, they will bend over backwards to help you do it.
Yeah.
Counseling, childcare, I mean, anything.
Insurance and, yeah.
So anyway, it's something that's been on our hearts and that we've done before and we will do again. I know we will.
Foster care, not adoption.
Maybe adoption too. Faith's not completely there on that. But as a church,
I'm not opposed to adoption. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. It depends on how your foster care system is set up.
Yeah.
Ours, you actually the child loses some privileges when you adopt them. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, if as a church, if as the church body, of Christ, if we start meeting our responsibilities of taking care of orphans and taking care of widows, and what that does is that actually adds value to life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason God told us to do that, because as life becomes precious, society in general will find it more precious. Mm-hmm. And in other words, can you imagine if there were no orphans out there to adopt?
Yeah.
There would be no abortions, or there'd be very few abortions, mm-hmm. because
demand.
The value of mm-hmm. life would be so high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's still, I don't believe, first of all, let me get a couple of things straight. I'm not one of these people who is anti-abortion completely. I am not that. There are times but I'm saying you are taking a life. And just like there are times when you need to let an old person die, or not just an old person, a terminally ill person die
mm-hmm.
With dignity. I believe that there are times when, you shouldn't be keeping them alive on machines or whatever. There are also times when you need to allow a child to...
The life of a mother.
The life of the mm-hmm. mother needs to be maybe put ahead. Because if she's got other children now, most mother will say, no, save the baby and let me die.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's other children involved,
right.
that's not the best thing for the family. And anyway, there's a reason God put priorities in the Bible and structured them the way he did.
So
that's my
go.
2 cents on that.
All right. Anyway, so you had a good lunch?
So I just think you need to, but we need to value life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key. Yeah, so check out visiontrust.org. There are several ways you can help, from sponsoring a child to serving there and sponsoring mission trips, mm-hmm. missionaries. I mean, there's tons of things you can do. They're in several countries. They reach over 100,000 orphans and neglected children. Their goal is to reach 100,000 orphaned and neglected children by the year 2020.
Hmm.
We won't be around after 2012, but still. I think it's a good thing to do, and it's what we've been commanded to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. What else are you going to, what can you say? Right?
Nothing, I guess.
Nothing. If you would like to have more information about that, you can contact me. At twoblindsquirrels, comments at twoblindsquirrels.com, and I'll get you in touch with Dan Shepherd or whoever at Vision Trust who can help you out. Or you can go to visiontrust.org and see what you can do there. Also, contact your local foster care agency and take care of an orphan. The fatherless, we're commanded to do so, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all you got?
Well, did you had something.
Not for this show.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Does the SP here want something?
SP, what you need? Okay. Do you need to get in the tub?
Yes.
Okay.
You said when SpongeBob was over.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You need somebody? Okay, we'll be there in a minute.
Well, you get it started.
Get ready to get in. We'll be there in a minute. Okay. She's feeling a little needy. I think she needs some parental supervision.
Okay.
So you don't want to do yours right now?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I can.
Let's talk about.
I can.
Well, let's talk about something fun. We did something kind of serious.
Oh, okay.
Let's do something kind of fun. Let's talk about Helen's birthday party. Let me talk to you about the do's and don'ts of having 11 8-year-olds to stay over at your house all night.
Well, 8 to 10, actually.
Okay, 8 to 10. Eight
7
to 10,
to 10 actually. Yeah.
7 years to 10-year-olds, 11 of them at your house overnight for a sleepover. Here's the do's and don'ts. Don't.
Just don't.
That's it.
That's all you need to know. The maximum amount of 7 to 10-year-olds you should have in your house is 5.
5? Mm-hmm. I would have said 4.
No, because listen, I have, on a regular basis...
4.
I have a 7... Well, now Helen's 8. So I have 2 8-year-olds and a 10-year-old. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old and an infant. So on several days last week, I had 5 children ranging from 3 months to 10 years old.
I see.
And that is manageable.
Okay.
They're not even all my own. I mean, only one of them is my own child. That's a 5. You can manage. Any more than that? Uh-uh. Out of control. I don't know how my mom did it. I don't know how she did it.
But you're out.
You know what she did? She locked us out. That's what she did. And played cards with her friends. Yeah, if you're not bleeding, well, you're not coming
you
in.
You kick them out of the house quite a bit.
I do. Well, we get home. Do we have to go outside when we get home?
Yes.
You have to. But it's hot. I don't care. Go outside and don't come back for about 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Stay away.
We're so mean. And Helen loves to go outside.
So. I know. She goes out all the time. It's okay. I'm hot. It's hot. No, this is not hot. It's not summer yet.
It's
going to
be hot.
Go out while it's still nice because I'll make you go out there in the summer too. And then you'll be hot. You don't even know hot.
So all these kids show up in pajamas. Okay.
Because it's a pajama party.
It's a pajama party. And so
and with their sleeping bags and their pillows and about 16,000 stuffed animals.
So they do this and they have
flashlights. With flashlights.
And flashlights, toothbrushes, the whole nine yards. So they're coming in and they're coming in and they're coming in and it's getting louder and louder. And I leave. I go to get the pizza.
They're all in Helen's room.
When I come back, they're all here.
Uh-huh.
And they are reaching octaves I didn't know were humanly possible. If you can imagine a beach filled with baby seals all being stabbed at the same time, like in the tail, not in the head, but in the tail,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Where it hurts, yeah.
Right. That's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
Similar.
Or imagine this. Tie 10 pans to the tails of 100 cats. And then put them in a gym with a metal floor. And then sick a dog on it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's similar. You can sort
similar.
Of similar uh-huh. imagine mm-hmm. what kind of noise mm-hmm. we're talking about mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could they understand each other?
I don't know.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
I had.
And at some point you get one kid.
I knew it was going to be loud.
And you get one kid all the time. It's a different kid. Every 5, they take turns, I think. About mm-hmm. every 3 minutes they switch kids. One kid yelling, "Hush, shut up, stop, enough. Everybody listen to me. Everybody be quiet for just a second. Hush, shut up."
They don't say shut up.
They don't say shut up, but whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just a second.
They've all been told not to say
quiet,
shut up.
Quiet. Listen to me. Just listen. Everybody be quiet for just a minute. And that there's always one kid saying that. It's a different kid every mm-hmm. 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
but nobody pays any attention
until somebody
to
comes in there, until Miss Faith comes in there, or Mrs. McFadden. Hey!
Enough!
No, I don't do it like that. I just go, everybody listen to me.
I did. I would go, enough.
keep it down.
You get his scary daddy voice.
And then, like later on that night, so we kick him in the backyard. And then we did a scavenger hunt all over the neighborhood, which we divided them all up into threes, which was good.
Yeah.
In threes, they were okay. We had four adults and 11 children. So we divided them up into threes. Well, actually, this time there was only 9 kids.
Yeah.
Because one came late and then one left early. But anyway, so at this point, we had 9 kids, and we divided them up into threes, and we sent them out into the neighborhood. And we went one adult with every group, and so we did this little scavenger with digital cameras and all that.
That was fun,
and it was a good time.
They loved it,
but it didn't last long enough. We should have made that last a little.
We should have made it a lot longer.
So we come back, and then we do ice cream, and
they made their own ice cream sundae in the backyard.
Yeah. We did ice cream, and then
the neighbors were getting restless. Then we opened presents.
So you played a couple of games with
and
them.
And then played a couple of games. That was hysterical. The phone, you know, the telephone game.
Yes, that.
That was so funny.
My brother's here, right? Uncle Kerry. Oh. All right, so they all call him Uncle Kerry. Because I told him, I said, you can call me Mr. McFadden. This is Mrs. McFadden. Well, my brother's name is McFadden, too. So you can call him Uncle Kerry.
And Aunt Jen.
Because it's, you know, Helen's uncle and Aunt Jen. So, so that's the way it worked. Well, all right. So they're there. So they're all in. Now, go ahead with your story.
Well, we're all in a circle.
Right.
And so then Brad would whisper something, some goofy phrase into my ear, and then I would whisper it to
monkeys
the
first. Monkeys are ticklish.
Monkeys are, yeah. But the one that they really messed up was boys. What was it?
The cowboy rides a blue horse.
A cowboy rides a blue horse. And by the time it came back to the last person, I mean, it was boys like lightning. And I mean, it was completely wrong, and they were cracking up. They were laughing so hard.
So one of these girls.
Oh wait, that's a different game.
Yeah. So one of these girls develops a little crush on Uncle Kerry, and you know she's sitting over there by Uncle Kerry. You know, you look like my grandfather. You know, you're skinny for an old person. Stuff like this, you know, it's crazy. He's like 30. So 34. Funny. He's 34. So the point is, we play this at the game.
We did. I'm going on a trip.
And I'm taking a
flashlight. And then the next person, I'm taking a flashlight and my sleeping bag. And then
so the first person said, you know, I think it was flashlight. The second person said, their house.
No, that was further around. But okay, anyway, but it was cheese.
Was another one. And another one was a pillow. And then they get to this girl, and she says, Uncle Kerry. I'm going on a trip, and I'm taking a flashlight and a pillow and cheese and toothbrush.
Whatever, yeah.
Oh, and Uncle Kerry. And everybody giggled, you know, and everything. And I thought it was funny.
And he's over there like, look, I'm so cool.
So then the next girl is Chloe, which is Helen's best friend and Faith's best friend's daughter. So she says, okay. So I'm going on a trip, and I'm taking a flashlight and a toothbrush and a pillow and cheese and Uncle Kerry. And
she looked over at him, and she's like, why on earth did you want to take Uncle Kerry?
That doesn't make any sense.
It was the funniest thing.
And ever.
Brad and I.
We were dying.
And Kerry's like, oh,
I just got dissed by an 8-year-old.
It's hysterical, but it was even more. It was perfect because it was Chloe. That was what was so perfect
but
about it.
Every girl after did that.
They all did that,
and Uncle Kerry, and everybody would laugh.
And then it was so funny.
So he had a complex by the time the game was over, which was
it was too good.
Which made me very happy.
That was too good.
Oh man.
That was funny.
So then we put them to bed. Now this gets interesting. So
it was
then we
10
put
o'clock.
Them to bed at 10 o'clock. Now normally most of their bedtime is probably about 8 o'clock.
8:30, yeah.
We put them to bed at 10.
Well, they didn't have to go to sleep, but they all had their sleeping bags out.
We had a movie on.
And
we had the laptop in there playing.
And about 4 girls wanted to watch the movie, and the rest of them were like, shut up, I can't hear the movie.
And then we get louder and louder. So finally I went in there, and I said, okay, everybody lay down. Because people were getting up and walking around, and I said, okay, everybody just lay down. You can come get a drink if you need to, go to the restroom, but just lay down where you're at, and when all the lights were off, and you can whisper and let the people who want to watch the movie watch the movie. So, me and Mr. Brad went back into the living room, And before long, they're talking, and then there's a steady stream to the kitchen to get a glass of water.
Because they have to keep their glasses in the kitchen.
Yeah. So there's just back and forth, 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 back and forth. And there's this one girl who she's going to the kitchen to get a glass of water about every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
And finally,
and she would drink a whole cup of water.
And finally, she comes into the living room and she says, and I'm like, again? And she goes, no, I need to use a restroom. I'm like, well, I would imagine so.
I would think so, finally.
So I kept, but I kept having
she
to
She had
go,
a healthy bladder.
So I kept having to go back in there and tell them to be quiet because I just, you know, I did it over and over again. And it wasn't fair to the other girls.
Who were trying, And Helen, and actually, it was hysterical because Helen was actually trying to go to sleep, which was so funny because she's
Chloe
usually.
And Chloe fell asleep, and a couple of the other girls fell asleep. And
Chloe
then,
didn't fall asleep.
Yeah, she did. She did too.
Well, then she woke back up.
Yes, and they all got woke back up from the other girls being loud.
Oh.
And so that's where I was getting kind of upset with everybody. So finally, the movie was over. I said, okay.
And it's like 12:30.
12:30. I said, all right, y'all need to lay down. You need to. We can whisper only, you know, but whisper because people are trying to sleep. There's other girls in here sleeping. You need to be quiet. No more getting up. You can get up and use the restroom. No more water. And Casey's like, but I hadn't gotten a drink of water yet. I'm like, I don't care. Too bad.
Too late.
So Mr. Brown went back in the living room one more time. So sure enough, before long, the whispering became giggles and the giggles became stop-its and the stop-its became hushes, and you know, before long people are screaming at each other again,
and he's looking at me, go tell him to be quiet. I'm like,
well, I don't,
because
I don't want to go in there
over.
Every time
I'm like, why can't just, he said, because if you don't dull the roar, it'll get out of control. You got to keep it down before,
and half the girls
loud.
Are already asleep.
See, I tune it out. I don't even hear it.
So finally I went in there and I just played the big mean daddy card, and I said, that's enough. Y'all have lost the privilege to whisper now. No more. That's it.
And they didn't.
I was shocked. It was like crickets.
And they went to sleep.
And it was
silent for the rest of the night.
So from about 12:45 to 7 a.m.
There wasn't a peep.
Not a peep.
7 o'clock, it was...
There was no girls coming in. Well, here's what I expected. I expected somebody to come in and say their tummy was hurting because they had like two bowls of ice cream and pizza. I mean, you know, I expected somebody's tummy to hurt. I expected somebody to be crying wanting their daddy. I expected somebody, you know, because me, these, and there were several of these girls who had never had a sleepover.
Right. They've never slept over. They were just seven.
So I expected several to, or at least a couple to come. I expected to be making trips to people's houses, taking them home, you know. And I expected somebody's nose to bleed. I expected, you know,
a broken bone, something bad to happen. Nothing. Slept through the night.
Silence.
I woke up at 6:15. I tried to go back to sleep. And I thought, you know, if I don't get up now, there's no sound. And if I don't go get the donuts and the pigs in a blanket and all that stuff now, it's going to be nutty. And so, they stayed in the room. Helen told them, we have to stay in the room till my parents get up. We don't want to wake them up.
And they did.
And they did. They didn't come out.
They were loud, but they were in there.
Poor Aunt Jan and Uncle Carrie were in the room across the hall.
My air conditioner was keeping the house nice and cool,
but
that
it was
room
hot
was
in
hot.
There. And the ceiling fan was on. It was hot. Whew. Anyway. Oh, it's funny. But that room's on the front of the...
Yeah.
The west side of the house gets hot anyway.
Yeah, but anyway.
It was successful.
So next year.
And they all had fun.
Next year.
I mean, I actually heard.
Girls.
Yeah. No, I actually heard out of several of their mouths, this is the best birthday party ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it was so funny because we didn't even do anything extravagant. It was the
cheapest birthday party we've ever had.
The cheapest birthday party I've ever had.
Cheaper than skating rink.
Oh, the skating rink was like over. It was $150 at the skating rink.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And this was a fraction.
So there's one last thing to talk about, and that's what we gained from the sleepover. We actually came out on top because now we have two extra pillows, several extra stuffed animals, five flashlights,
a toothbrush.
A pair of socks, and there was one other thing in there.
Oh, and a dolphin nightlight.
And a dolphin nightlight. Which magically appeared. I have no clue where that came.
I don't know. How
it's like, where'd you get that?
Well, how'd that get here?
So,
See? We have gained.
So, sleepover is the way to go.
Possession.
But I tell you what, they were scheduled. Here's the thing for all you parents out there. If you take your child to a sleepover and it's scheduled to end at 10 o'clock in the morning the next morning.
Get there at 9:30.
You better be there before 10 o'clock to pick up your kids. Next time, I'm going to put it on the invitation. I'm going to charge money after 10 o'clock.
We had some who didn't get picked up until 10:45, wasn't it?
Yeah, 10:45.
Uh-huh. There were two left.
The last one left at 10:45. And I'm like, dude, come on. Now, you know, by that time, there's only three left. You can handle
that.
Yeah,
and so they weren't bothering us at all.
But
we were ready to go. I mean, we were needing to leave. And
but we should have been to the party at 8.
Yeah. Well, 9 was reasonable. But kids have time to eat and all that. But yeah, we should have. I was a little late. And when I did it, I thought, well, 10, because you don't want it to be. I don't want to drag the parents. I mean, there a lot of them, you know.
This is their only chance
to sleep. This is their chance. You know, like Jerry and Ginger was their anniversary, so they didn't have any kids, and they were going to go out to eat. You know, John and April got to have date night. Yeah. I mean, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. The parents could have a good time. I don't want to make them get up early.
Yeah.
Well, but I was like, get out.
Get out.
Oh, it was fun, though.
So we should start this.
It was fun.
We should start a business. Parents Not Out.
Yeah, there we go.
And we should do this once a month.
I do that during the day, right?
We should do this once a month where we just, you know, have kids over, and then we charge $250 a piece.
Well, you know, it was funny. It was funny because they were doing this dance. They were doing dance party, and they had the CDs on. And they had, the like, I told three girls on the bunk bed. Helen's got one of those loft beds. So that three at a time, no more than three. And they obeyed. And they the ones on, like, Helen and Chloe were up on the top of the flashlights. And when the music was going, the flashlights, they were waving around like disco balls and stuff, you know. And then they'd take turns. And Helen would go, and Casey and Morgan will do the tango. And they'd go march across and do the tango. And then they were, like, doing the sprinkler. And they're doing all the silly dances. So I go in there, and what are y'all doing? And they were jumping around. And I said, you don't know how to dance. So I went in there, and I just started jumping around like a lunatic. And they're all like, go, Miss Faye. Go. Oh, no, Miss McFadden. Miss McFadden. Miss McFadden. Go. Go, Miss McFadden. And they were going right around there. I mean, you'd have thought that I did something no parents ever do. Their parents must not do stuff like that.
So all the parents are sticks in the mud.
Apparently. Because I'm like, well, this is fun. Yeah. Why don't we want to dance with you? Have a good time.
Well, I would have been much more fun if I had been so tired.
But he had to be a...
Somebody had to be in charge. Somebody had to keep everybody in line.
Because I was having a good time.
Somebody had to be the commandant.
Mm-hmm. Too bad it was you, because you're usually the fun one.
I was fine. We had fun on the scavenger hunt. I think they enjoyed themselves.
Oh, yeah, they had a good time.
But the kids who were doing the right thing and that were... trying to go to sleep.
They were all the little ones.
They appreciated me.
Mm-hmm.
I was their hero.
Which are the ones that Helen would have next year, because they're the ones in her class.
It's the older ones that were
loud.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. Vios con Dios.
They can't see you waving at them.
I was telling you, go help Helen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Vios con Dios, y'all.
Tomorrow, we're going to talk. Faith's got something she wants to talk about. We've got lots of calls from you guys that we want to get to. So have a happy Tuesday, and we will see you Wednesday, Rue. Thanks for joining us, by the way. And follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/ Brad McFadden.
John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he be born a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.